talked about the question of who we're supposed to send to get help. We talked about the issue of sending a non-Jew to get help. The Gemara said that you should or should not? Should not, right. Why shouldn't you? Yes? Right, so one concern is what's going to happen next time. They're going to feel like, well, last time we asked a non-Jew to do it, that must be what we're required to do, and that would be a problem. What's the other reason? Yeah. Well, you're not waiting. The non-Jew is right here. Yeah. So why shouldn't I send a non-Jew? If I have a non-Jew right there, just as capable as everybody else, why shouldn't I send a non-Jew to do it? What's the other explanation? Yeah. That they won't do it well. Why? Why wouldn't they do it well? Like there's something inherent about not being Jewish? That, okay. Yeah, Sarah. Right, they might think that it's not that pressing. This was Tosfos thinking, well, you must have asked him because it wasn't such a serious situation. So you figured, hey, let me get someone who isn't Jewish. You're expecting a lot of the non-Jew to know the laws of Pikuach Nefesh and to have incorrectly extrapolated that the fact that you're sending him is because it's not so serious. Yeah.
Is there a professional? One thing I realize.
Who's anything other professional?
You're getting the non-Jew.
Right, but in other words, we need somebody to call an ambulance. Right? So I see the custodian standing in their lobby and I say, you know, you please call an ambulance, right? So he may think the fact that I singled him out instead of just asking the person standing right next to me or whatever is because it's not so urgent and therefore I should be asking a non-Jew over a Jew. That's the consideration which we read into Tosfos. The practical ramification of that is, of, you know, the practical application of these two possibilities is what if I have a non-Jew available who I know will act quickly, who I know is not going to misunderstand what's going on. So Tosfos will say, then go ahead, send him, whereas the Rosh's concern about next time will still apply. We said that we actually paskin like the Rosh. The concern is what's going to happen next time, which means that if you do send a non-Jew, for whatever reason you decided to do that, you should make sure, the Taz said, to announce, you know, I am not sending a non-Jew because sending a non-Jew is required. You should make the announcement after you send him, just to be clear, because otherwise the person may die and it's your fault. Do you use a child in order to do this, as opposed to an adult? No. The Gemara says you're supposed to send Gedolei Yisrael. We had two different ways to explain Gedolei Yisrael. One view was that it means adults. The other view was that it means Talmidei Chachamim. But everybody agrees that you are, in fact, supposed to send an adult. You are not supposed to send a child. Side note, but an important note, people sometimes make the assumption that in general, when something needs to be done on Shabbos and it's halachically problematic, you should ask a kid to do it. So we had a situation in Shul on the last days of Yom Tov where the air conditioner wasn't on, and there was one day when the air conditioner wasn't on, there was another day when the lights weren't on. So somebody said to me, could you ask a kid to be the one to do it? So there are leniencies to be able to do it yourself. Shavuos to Shavuos b'makom mitzvah is something that we've talked about. A double derabanan for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of the community. So in other words, let's say the lights are LEDs, and let's say I follow the majority view that electricity altogether, completing a circuit and so on, is a derabanan, and I'm going to do it with a shinui, right? I, as an adult, can do that, shvus to shvus, in a case of a mitzvah. Or I could ask a non-Jew to be the one to do it. Does it make it better to ask a child to do it? Well, technically, yes, but you create a different problem, which is the chinuch of that child. Right? Putting a child, assuming the child is of age to understand what Shabbos is and that we don't do these things on Shabbos, you've now taught the child to go violate Shabbos. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to put children in that kind of a situation. It is bad chinuch. Okay. The third piece that we did was the issue of the Rambam's comments regarding women and not sending women to do this. I'm not going to go back into that right now. I really went into it because I felt it was important to understand what was going on in the Gemara, in the two different editions of the Gemara. It's important to know as Torah. I will tell you flat, it's not going to be on the final. I made up the final already, so learn it as Torah. But I'm not going to reopen that at the expense of other things that we need to get to. Sorry? Oh, that's okay. You'll be fine. So the someone will fill you in. So in terms of getting to the hospital and practical elements of getting to the hospital, I think this was the last thing that we discussed. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, the one that says that within 3 days of Shabbos we don't go to sea, right? You don't get on a boat. And we asked, what's that about? If it's about preventing violating Shabbos on the boat, that should be a thing even before 3 days before Shabbos, I would have thought. If it's not about preventing Chilul Shabbos, then what's the problem altogether, right? So we gave two key approaches to explaining the Gemara. One approach was from the Rif, and the other approach was from the Baal HaMa'or, Rav Zrachya Halevi. What was the Rif's approach? Anybody remember? Why not get on the boat within 3 days of Shabbos? Wow, people look so tired. Yeah?
The 3 days leading up to it are considered part of Shabbos.
Right? It's considered part of Shabbos, and therefore what? What was the Rif's approach? I'm asking about the Rif now. I think you're more on the Baal HaMa'or.
The discomfort?
Right. The Rif's approach was feeling seasick on the boat. So you need 3 days in order to adjust, and then you'll be fine once Shabbos rolls around. Bailey was talking about the Baal HaMa'or's approach, I think. Right? The Baal HaMa'or says the issue is wanting to avoid likely Chilul Shabbos in advance. So within 3 days of Shabbos, it's considered to be part of Shabbos, and I need to avoid likely Chilul Shabbos. And we saw that the Shulchan Aruch incorporated elements of both of these positions.
Is the Rif of the Yitzchak Al-Hasi?
That's the one. Yeah, Bailey.
I'm just confused by the Rif's approach. Like,
yeah.
The whole point is that you need the 3 days to adjust to the boat.
Yeah.
So that's why you should get on the boat 3 days, more than 3 days before Shabbos.
Correct. And that way you'll feel okay when Shabbos comes around.
Shabbos.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Natalie.
Wait, the Rif is Shabbos only view, or is that something
else? So the Rif didn't quote the issue of Shabbaton as far as I can recall, but it's consistent with the view of Shabbaton. It's part of that school in general of how we approach Shabbos, yeah. You could call it Kavod, Oneg, group them all together. So the Shulchan Aruch says we follow the Rif to say that Oneg is a concern within 3 days of Shabbos. We also follow the Baal HaMa'or to say that likely Chilul Shabbos is a concern only within 3 days of Shabbos. So when it comes to the boat, let me make sure I say this clearly, because I think that I have a potential to mess it up. The boat concern is really about Oneg as far as the Shulchan Aruch is concerned. The boat, he says, is not likely Chilul Shabbos. The boat is potential Chilul Shabbos, unlike what the Baal HaMa'or was applying to the boat. So the Shulchan Aruch says, regarding the boat, it's just the Oneg issue, and that's it. However, the Shulchan Aruch brings the case of a caravan, in which case it's not just potential Chilul Shabbos, it is likely Chilul Shabbos, because they're not going to want to stop the caravan and you're going to be stuck in the middle of nowhere and that's going to be a threat to life. So the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to the caravan, that's a concern only within 3 days of Shabbos, despite the fact that it's likely Chilul Shabbos. And then the Ramah adds that if you have a boat where Chilul Shabbos is likely, then the same thing will be true. The upshot is, get on the boat more than 3 days before Shabbos if there's a concern for Oneg Shabbos. Get on the boat within more than three days before Shabbos if there's a concern for likely Chilul Shabbos. Yeah.
We briefly spoke about the idea of, like, what if you're going on a cruise over Shabbos? What was the consensus on that?
So, assuming that, again, you've got enough time to adjust to any seasickness, and you're not getting off the boat on Shabbos, it would seem to be halachically permitted.
Those are the main concerns.
Yeah, those are the main concerns. I mean, obviously you have to make sure also that whatever you're doing on the boat is consistent with Shabbos.
Like if the boat docks on Shabbos and that's part of like the schedule, then you can't go on that cruise.
If the boat docks but you're staying on the boat, you're just fine. Getting off the boat raises issues of tchum and so on, and who's going to be, you know, are they lowering the gangplank just for you, and, you know, other issues that come up. Daniela?
Is the boat its own, like, in terms of, like, carrying everything?
Yes. Yeah, so what the Shulchan Aruch is telling you is that where it's likely Chilul Shabbos, and the caravan is the case that the Shulchan Aruch brings of that, then you have to do it more than 3 days before Shabbos. Potential would not be an issue, even within 3 days before Shabbos. It's likely that you would need to worry about. I didn't bring... Actually, you know what? I might have it. I have an old source sheet here. Let me see if it actually has the Shulchan Aruch on it. No.
So if the only concern is on a Shabbos, then you can go within 3 days of...
As long as you have an... It's not really about the 3 days. The three days is a bit of a red herring. It's really about enough time that you won't have an Oneg Shabbos issue. That's really what we're saying. You could make the argument, I suppose. I hadn't presented it this way. I'm just opening the Shulchan Aruch on here. You could make the argument, if I don't need to worry about potential Chilul Shabbos or even likely Chilul Shabbos, if I'm going more than 3 days beforehand, maybe I also don't need to worry about Oneg. Like, it's an interesting argument to be made. Why would I need to worry about one and not worry about the other? But that's not the way that the... That's not the way the Rif frames it. He seems to think it's because 3 days is enough time to adjust. Not that 3 days and now you don't need to worry about Oneg. Just to read out the Shulchan Aruch to make sure that we're clear. The Shulchan Aruch language is this, and you may have the source sheet, you know, with you. But it's in Reish Mem Ches Dalet. He says, Hayotzim b'shayara b'midbar. Those who are traveling on a caravan in the midbar, in the wilderness. And everybody knows they're going to need to override Shabbos. You know that. Because, thanks to danger, they're not able to stay in the Midbar on Shabbos alone. So, Gimel Yamim Kodem Shabbos Asurim Latzeis. On the 3 days that precede Shabbos, they're not allowed to go. But Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they would be allowed to go. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that even where you know you're going to need to override Shabbos, it's only a concern within the 3 days. It's not a concern before the 3 days. Earlier, in Reish Mem Ches Beis, he brings the business of the boat, and there he brings the boat as an issue of Oneg Shabbos, not the issue of danger. Because on the boat, the danger is less likely. He brings you the caravan as the likely danger thing. Yeah?
That was Shulchan Aruch
what? Reish Mem Ches Dalet was the caravan. Reish Mem Ches Beis and Gimel, and really Aleph. It's Aleph, Beis, and Gimel is the boat.
Sorry, what issue is
that? It would have been number two, the one that we had the last class before Pesach. Correct. Yes, he would. Yeah. He just felt like it wasn't necessary as a function of the boat case. Right. So maybe I should put this on the board just to make sure that it's clear.
Can you show me the board?
Yeah, no, Leah, I knew you'd want the picture. Don't worry. I'm going to turn it. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea what the noise is outside either.
Okay,
so what we're saying is this. The case, as far as the Shulchan Aruch is concerned, the case of the boat is a case of potential chilul Shabbos, overriding of Shabbos, right? I'm going to try to make it visible to you, Lee. I'm not sure it's going to work. Potential chilul Shabbos, and it's a separate issue of oneg Shabbos. The issue of the caravan is an issue of likely chilul Shabbos. Not an issue of oneg at all. And what he says is, when you're dealing with the boat, you need to go more than 3 days before Shabbos because of the oneg issue, not because of potential chilul Shabbos. When you're dealing with the caravan, you need to go 3 days before Shabbos because of likely chilul Shabbos.
3 days in advance is for...
both of them. Either way, you have to leave more than 3 days before Shabbos.
But
that doesn't look visible.
But the oneg is... sorry. But the boat is...
Sorry, what, Bailey?
The boat is both potential and oneg, and the caravan is only chilul.
But the boat is only potential. The caravan is likely chilul. There is no issue of oneg. That is correct. What we're trying to show here is a convergence of two different factors leading to the same result. The result is, for both boat and caravan, we want you to do it more than 3 days before Shabbos, but for different reasons. With the boat, it's because of oneg. With the caravan, it's because you're going to need to be mechal Shabbos. Do you understand what I'm saying? And either way, we end up with 3 days.
Potential
means it could happen, but it might not happen. Likely means this is happening. It's just that I can't say definite because there's no such thing as definite in this world. So I'm saying likely. I mean, the language of the Shulchan Aruch that I read to you regarding the caravan was Hakol Yodim Shem Tzrichim L'Chalo Shabbos. Everybody knows they need to override Shabbos. Yeah, sorry. The Baal HaMor did not address potential chilul Shabbos. The Baal HaMor only addressed likely. The Baal HaMor thought that the boat is a likely case. The Shulchan Aruch is not agreeing. Clear? Okay. So, what happens when you know you will likely need to go to the hospital on Shabbos? Now what do you do? Is there really an obligation to stay at the hospital from before Shabbos? If I were to just go with what we've said, if I were to go with the Shulchan Aruch, it would sound like the answer is yes. There are two groups of people I want to address with this question. Group number one are people who know they need to go to the hospital because they are doctors and they have a shift, and their shift is going to start on Shabbos. So they know that they're going to need to go to the hospital on Shabbos. They know that once they're in the hospital, they're going to be saving lives. So the question now is, can they wait till Shabbos, at which point they need to save lives, or is there actually an obligation for them to spend Shabbos in the hospital, even though their shift doesn't start until 11 p.m. Friday night, 3 p.m. Shabbos afternoon, whatever it is. And then the other group that I want to talk about is the woman who anticipates going into labor on Shabbos. Her due date was on Tuesday, and nothing happened, and now there are contractions and things are happening. She doesn't know for sure. She may make it through Shabbos without it. On the other hand, she may have to go. Does that create any obligation for her? Bailey.
You're saying that as a doctor, you're allowed to take
So the question is a good question overall, meaning is it appropriate for a doctor to take call on Shabbos at all, or is the doctor really supposed to avoid that situation entirely? That's a much bigger topic that I'm not going to be covering here.
You're saying in the case that they do have a shift that's...
Yeah. For whatever reason they're in that situation, they're in that situation. Whether it's supposed to, not supposed to, is a fascinating discussion that involves so many complications that really it's basically probably a three-part class if we were to be doing it. Yeah. If you do want, there's a YU Torah class I gave a few years ago on taking call on Shabbos, and you can catch that one. Yeah?
What if it's like a will the situation be different if it's, like, the doctor's on call, but he won't necessarily, A, be called, or be, like, if he's called, it won't necessarily be for a life-threatening situation?
Right. So there's definitely a distinction to be made between the one who knows I'm going to be having to, you know, let's say they had a surgery with a high-risk patient on Friday, and they know they're going to have to go to the hospital on Shabbos to look in on them. Or they're a veteran, they've been doing this for 10 years, and they know something's going to happen during this shift where I'm going to get called in. As opposed to somebody for whom there's a lesser degree of certainty, and now they're certainly in that potential camp. So regarding doctors, it's a classic problem. I brought you a tshuva from Rav Moshe. If you take a look at source number one on the sheet, he writes, Kishiyodea harofe mize erev Shabbos, if the doctor knows about this on Friday, knows that, going to need to go to the hospital on Shabbos, mechuyov harofe lihisha'er lalun be'eze bayis hasamuch lebeit hacholem. He says, yeah, the doctor is obligated to stay somewhere near the hospital. Shevadai efshar la'asig makom lalun. He can definitely get a place to sleep there. And even if that means he's got to pay rent, he had to rent an apartment near the hospital, he says you can't permit him to go home knowing that then tomorrow he's going to have to go to the hospital, overriding Shabbos. And even if there is no place near the hospital where he can stay, so stay in the hospital itself. Even if that means he doesn't get to make kiddush with wine, he doesn't have a nice meal for Shabbos either, nonetheless, he has to stay there. The mitzvah seuda Shabbos v'kiddush lo tidcha isur malacha de Shabbos, because he says, look, my mitzvah of making kiddush is a mitzvah saseh. My mitzvah of oneg Shabbos is a mitzvah saseh. Driving to the hospital on Shabbos is a lo saseh and a very serious one. So so Rav Moshe says, can't do it. The only way you can stay home, bless you, is if there are no other options, including switching with somebody else and so on. So writes Rav Moshe. Rav Yeshua Neuvert in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa says the same thing. Take a look at source number two. Rofei Toran, a doctor on duty, o konein, or on call. Apparently konein is, he's on call. Bebeis HaCholim, Shabo Nimtza Chola Shiyesh Bo Sakana, where there was a dangerously ill patient. So he knows he has somebody under his care for whom Chilul Shabbos is warranted. Al Lo Lazov is Beis HaCholim LeBeiso HaRachog BeBeis HaCholim Al Dashi Yitzterech Lintzoa B'Shabbos Kdei Lamod Al Mishmarto. So he shouldn't leave the hospital on Friday in order to go far from the hospital, knowing he's going to have to travel on Shabbos in order to take care of his shift. However, then he gets to the key words. Ach im nachri yasiya oso les lanba. If a non-Jew will take him to the hospital, that's a different story. And that's the heter that doctors have to be able to know that they're going to have to. I'm not talking about now potential cases. I might get a call, I might not get a call. If he knows he's going to have to go, or she knows she's going to have to go to the hospital on Shabbos, if they have a non-Jew available to take them, so you've now knocked it down to a derabanan, then they're able to not stay in the hospital, but instead to go home. Yeah.
You said before that Rav Moshe said the only way to stay home is if there's no other option, switching with someone else. Isn't that automatic? Like, they would already try that, so therefore now Rav Moshe is saying everything is fine?
So, because I wrote my note on this tshuva a while ago, I don't remember if my note in there was something that he put in later at this stage in the tshuva, or whether it was an introductory thing that he had mentioned. So it's possible I'm just summing up what he... That's not in the piece that I brought you as the excerpt. That's just something I put in my notes because I know that he discusses it.
So it's not
No, it is one of the things that has to be considered. It's only, you know, is that something he wrote here, or is that something that he said earlier? But either way, it's a requirement to make sure that option was not exhausted.
And if it was exhausted, then you're good, according to
Then you're stuck. Then you're
but
in the...
You could be going home.
Sorry?
I thought you could go home.
Yeah. No, that's what he was saying. He's saying that in the event that you have no options, meaning staying in the hospital is not a choice for whatever reason. It's COVID and they're not allowing you to stay in the hospital. They staying near the hospital is not an option. There just literally physically is nowhere to stay. And it has to be you. So you're in a position of, this is what I need to do to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save this patient.
And he doesn't say anything
about getting somebody else to do it? No, I'm saying that is part of his calculation. That will be one of the things that the doctor is supposed to be checking into. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bailey.
That was my question. I was confused because I thought if there's no other option.
Right, so no other options means no other options. It means that there was nobody who could take your spot. There was no place to stay. There was no nothing. There were no other choices, so there were no other choices. That happens sometimes. Okay.
Can you repeat what Rav Noach said?
It's basically the same thing as what Rav Moshe said. I just wanted to show it wasn't just Rav Moshe saying it. And what he does add is the piece at the end. Imnachri Yasio, so the part about a non-Jew. But his statement is fundamentally the same, which is, if you know you're going to need to go to the hospital on Shabbos, then plan ahead, stay in the hospital, stay near the hospital, or get someone who isn't Jewish, arrange with someone who isn't Jewish to be the one who's going to take you to the hospital. That would be the way to deal with it.
Not like the Bidyevet.
What do you mean?
So rather than like staying nearby?
Oh, it is Bidyevet. No, no, the better option would be to stay nearby. Oh. It would be better to stay nearby if you have that option, if that's okay, than to have the non-Jew drive you. That is 100% better. There are cases where staying nearby isn't a great option. That's where we're going now with the case of the pregnant woman, right? The idea of asking a woman who's in her ninth month and at the end of her ninth month to stay in a stranger's house is not always so appealing. And that's where we're going to go with this. Clear? Yeah.
These are all cases of definitely know you're going to the hospital.
Whatever definite means, but yes.
Is 99%
yes. Yeah, correct.
Like
yes.
You're just stuck on
correct. Correct. So what about the woman who is at her due date? So Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in source number 3, quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, as well as the Chazon Ish. Isha shehigi'a l'chodesh hatshi'i leheryona, a woman who reaches her ninth month, min ha-ra'oi shetachin me'erev Shabbos es kol ha-darush la l'mikresha le'edetiyeh b'Shabbos. So it is appropriate that before Shabbos she prepare everything she can possibly prepare to avoid having to override Shabbos in the event that something comes up. She is not obligated to be near the hospital already close to Shabbos to avoid having to travel to the hospital on Shabbos. Im yesh koshi bedavar, if that will be a hardship. You know, there are hospitals where bigger cholim units have been arranged. There are apartments that are very nicely furnished that are across the street from the hospital. And those are great. And if she has that option available, yes. You know, absolutely, go for it. But if the situation is difficult for her, if she has discomfort because it's the end of the pregnancy, if the place she'd be staying doesn't have air conditioning and it's the summertime, if she'd be staying in someone else's house and they have screaming babies and she can't calm down, you know, then she's within her rights to say, this is just not an option for me, and to stay home. And in the footnote, in Ha'ar Yud Gimel, in source number 3, Eidus Mipia Chazon Ish Zatzal V'chein Shemati Mehagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He says, I heard that in the name of the Chazon Ish, and I heard it directly from Rav Shlomo Zalman. To support that as well, I brought you source number 4, the Rabbi Bodner book that I've quoted before, Halachos of Refuah on Shabbos. He writes, the poskim recommend that, as the ninth month approaches, one prepare before every Shabbos anything that will help minimize overriding Shabbos prohibitions should labor begin on Shabbos. So he's not waiting until the end of the ninth month, because once one begins the ninth month, generally that is considered term, and it could happen at any time. So she should start preparing before Shabbos. One should sign and submit the hospital pre-admission forms, prepare the phone numbers of available non-Jewish taxis, prepare money for the taxi fare, and make necessary arrangements all before Shabbos, right? Arranging a ride before Shabbos is not impossible to do. the whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a taxi, whatever it is, it can be done. Although one should try to prepare whatever is possible before Shabbos, nevertheless, one is not required to put oneself through much inconvenience and discomfort in order to avoid having to possibly override a Shabbos prohibition the next day. And he's quoting that from Rav Shlomo Zalman. For example, during the ninth month, one who lives in an area where there is no hospital is not required to spend Shabbos with relatives or friends who live in the proximity of a hospital. Furthermore, even if a pregnant woman suspects she will have to travel to the hospital on Shabbos, for example, if her labor has begun, she is not required to arrive at the hospital before Shabbos and wait in the lobby until she is ready to be admitted. So she's already feeling the contractions on Friday. You know, does she need to go early and just hang out in the lobby? The answer is no. They stay home. If it turns out that you're at the Sha'a Tova, that's wonderful. Go to the hospital then. Yeah?
If they don't know if they're going to go into Levant on Shabbos, they should prepare something in advance or something?
So yeah, definitely make the preparations that you're able to make in advance. So I'm going to give you some good guidelines in source number 5. I would normally not bring like this kind of a length of English text. I would just tell you, look, here's a link, go look it up. But because these issues are complicated, I think it's important that we get a chance to look at it together. Danielle.
Was that like induction for Shabbos? That doesn't automatically mean that day.
So inducing is a great question, but it raises its own complications. The main point and the main consideration is that we're not, as a general rule, in favor of inducing unless it is medically necessary. By which I mean, you know, there are cases where the mother has certain conditions that are exacerbated by pregnancy and it's getting to a point where it's actually dangerous for her or for the kid. You know, diabetes is one, you know, one such example. Or a case in which the child is in such a position inside that they say, you know what, we need to induce in order to get the kid out. So things like that can be, you know, can be cases where it's being done because it's convenient for the schedule of the hospitalist. You know, they're here these days and they want to take care of it. Then we're not so happy about that because we have a general principle, which is we view giving birth as a dangerous time, even though, God willing, everybody goes through it and they're fine and so on. Nonetheless, we consider it sakana. We don't enter into a sakana situation, bringing it on unnecessarily. So, you know, if they're talking about scheduling something for Shabbos and they're talking about just because it's, you know, it's convenient for us, our OBGYN unit will have doctors available or whatever it is on Shabbos, and it's more inconvenient for us if it's on Sunday, we would try to avoid that. As opposed to, it's Friday, they have her do tests and they say, you know, we really need to do this and our first opportunity is going to be Shabbos, then we're talking Pikuach Nefesh at that point anyway. You know. Nothing about, like, what do you mean?
Like, a person to give birth while they're taking blood because they need it for induction for a reason, does that matter?
I don't know when that would come up. I'm certainly not an OBGYN, but in none of the cases I am familiar with, 4 of them directly, have I ever seen them taking blood as any sort of step towards giving birth. Okay. I could learn something new. Find out and let me know.
No,
Google it. I'm sure someone's got something. Okay. So, source number 5 is from the OU's website. They're taking from Rabbi Daniel Neustadt. You may have seen Rabbi Neustadt's material in general online. Sorry?
Yeah,
also, mine said the internet connection is unstable. And Leah's kind of frozen on the Zoom. Okay, I don't know if you hear me, Leah, but it's not the best. That's not the best look in which you want to be frozen in. Okay. Sorry. In any case, what I brought you in source number 5 does not require internet, so we're good. This is a set of guidelines for a yoledes, a woman who is going to give birth. So he says, the following protocol applies to a yoledes being driven to the hospital by a non-Jew. So you're talking about the case where you did arrange for a non-Jew to be the one to do it. As soon as the doctor instructs her to go to the hospital, she or any other person should call the designated driver, right? Meaning you have to get the non-Jew. Like, you arranged, you know, with a taxi or with, some guy who just drives people, you still need to get a hold of them, so that's fine, you call them. You know, you do it with a shinui, that's great, but you call them. The rules mentioned earlier regarding making a phone call to the doctor apply here as well, by which he's talking about, making a phone call with a shinui. When time allows, the door to the vehicle should be opened and closed by the non-Jewish driver, right? The car itself being muktzah, the light that's going to go on when you open the door, these are things that the non-Jew should be the one doing. If no babysitter for the other children is present, it is permitted to ask the non-Jewish driver to drive the children to another person's home or to pick up a babysitter from another location, right? Because again, the non-Jew doing it is a derabanan, and it's the safety of the kids. Any item which the Yoledes will need on Shabbos may be taken along to the hospital. If there is no Erev, or if the item is Muktzah, the non-Jew should be asked to carry the woman's bag to the vehicle, time permitting. When they reach the hospital, the driver should carry the items inside. So whatever it is that she's going to want to have with her, or need to have with her, identification, for example, just arrange with the non-Jew. You have a non-Jew available to help, let them be the one to do it. Yeah, Bailey.
Does it feel like an Uber driver?
Could be.
You have to bring them in your house?
Sorry?
You have to bring them into your house?
I mean, what people would usually do is have everything ready before Shabbos on a side table by the front door.
Yeah, like they have a backpack.
Yeah. I mean, you're trusting this person enough that you're paying them before Shabbos and trusting that they're going to come when you need them on Shabbos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
You've already given them the money.
If you're saying calling a non-Jew on Shabbos, you can't pay for it.
So paying is also a derabanan, but it's something you can take care of before Shabbos, so that's what you do.
So either
what you do is you provide your credit card number in advance, or you have some cash that's sitting on the table by the entrance to the house. And
the way that Uber works, you need to order it and pay for it with the credit card in the app when you do it.
Okay.
So like on Shabbos, the woman realizes she's going to labor.
Right, so what I'm saying is that that's why I keep saying taxi instead of saying Uber. If there is a way with an Uber to arrange it in advance, that's great. If there is not, then old-fashioned cabs, you know.
Wait, how do you arrange any of this in advance if she doesn't know that she's going to go?
You say, I don't know if we're going to need you, we might need you, I'm going to call you if we need you.
Oh, you're able to call them?
That was the first thing that we said.
Not a service.
No, but that was the first thing that we said. We said, as soon as the doctor instructs her to go to the hospital, she or any other person should call the designated driver. Yeah. Clear? Are we okay?
Once you're like calling someone though, it's so different than something about on your phone. So like order an Uber, I mean?
So when you order an Uber, depending on where you live, mm-hmm. you don't know when you're getting them. It's a lot better if you can arrange that in advance as opposed to having to arrange it then. And again, the Uber is not your best option, because if you can arrange for the payment to be done in such a way that you don't need to do it on Shabbos, that's what you should do. Remember, Shabbos is dechuya. We try to minimize what we have to do on Shabbos when we have the opportunity, as we do in this case. This ain't a secret. She's been pregnant for 9 months. You know, it's not like we didn't know that this was coming up. So to the extent that we're able to arrange it in advance, we do. In the event that it wasn't arranged for whatever reason, now it's Shabbos, she needs to go to the hospital, you're going to do what you need to do. But if you have the option, what Rabbi Neustadt is doing is he's listing for you the things that you need to think about, so you now have a checklist. If during the drive, did I do the whole thing? No, I didn't do the whole thing yet. He says, if it is the wish of the Yoledes and it would help to relax her, her husband, her labor coach or doula, or another person may accompany her to the hospital, even if their assistance is not medically warranted. The person going along may take along basic food necessities that will be needed on Shabbos. The non-Jew should be asked to carry the food into the vehicle and from the vehicle into the hospital, again, assuming there's no Eruv, then let the non-Jew to be the one to take care of it. Is that clear? If during the drive labor stopped and the woman feels that she does not need to go to the hospital, it is permitted to tell the non-Jew to take her and her companion back home if they cannot return safely and comfortably on foot, which is generally the case. Remember, 9 months pregnant. So because it's a non-Jew doing the driving, they can also take you home. Is all this clear? in the absence of any other alternative, or if arrangements were not made in advance, it is permitted for a Jew, the husband, or any other person, to drive the woman to the hospital. So now you have a Jew being the one doing the driving. If you don't have the option, you didn't arrange a non-Jew, then fine, have a Jew do it. A couple who is aware before Shabbos that the driver may be a Jew should prepare before Shabbos for that eventuality. What happens if it's a few minutes before Shabbos and suddenly the contractions are starting unexpectedly and they realize we didn't make any arrangements? It's possible we'll be able to get a hold of somebody. We're going to try, but we may end up really with the husband being the one to drive. So what do I do in those few minutes before Shabbos? So he says, therefore, the shortest possible route to the hospital must be planned. Figure out how to do it in a way that minimizes Chilul Shabbos. Exact change for any possible toll should be prepared and placed in the car. If Easy Pass is available, it's preferable to pay in cash. Right? That's straightforward? Because when it's an easy... No, it's preferable to pay in cash. It's better than paying cash. Yeah. The car which is designated to be driven should not be blocked by other cars or other obstructions. It's always funny to, when, not, funny is the wrong word, but people get into the situation and then they realize, oh, the car we wanted to take is actually blocked by another car. Like, you did everything else, you planned everything else, but that you didn't figure out. The dome light bulb in the car should be loosened or removed before Shabbos. The air conditioner, radio, and audio system should be on the off position. This assumes that none of those things are necessary. If you need the dome light in the car to be able to actually manage to safely get everything in the car, get everybody buckled in, and so on, then leave the dome light on. Clear? Okay. Driver's license, registration, other papers that are required for driving or that will be needed for identification at the hospital should be placed in the car before Shabbos. There's no reason why you need to wait until Shabbos in order to put them in. Where there is no Eruv, clothing, food, and other items that will be needed at the hospital should be placed in the car before Shabbos. Unless an Eruv exists, a sitter or a Sefer Tehillim should not be taken to the hospital on Shabbos, for the merit of keeping Shabbos is greater than saying Tehillim. This should be explained to the woman. I don't know if that's a sexist comment or not. I think it's not. I think it's a statement that women are very, very holy, and they love to say Tehillim, and the man is going to be like, who cares if I don't bring the Tehillim, but it's going to really bother her, so therefore you should explain it to her. I assume that's why he said that. Yeah. Let her memorize it. Yeah.
Wait, what's the problem with
bringing the Tehillim? Say Ashrei. The problem is, we're talking about where there's no Erev. That's what he said, unless an Erev exists. Good. So Daniela asks a very important question. You're going to need to carry stuff anyway. You're carrying a bag anyway. What's the difference whether there's Tehillim in it or not? And the answer is that there is an issue of being marbe, of doing more than you need to do. We try to make sure that we're just carrying the bare minimum. If the hospital is out of the Tchum Shabbos, any unnecessary items in the car, such as a car seat, should preferably be removed from the car. We're not saying car seats are unnecessary. Let's be very clear. If there's a kid, the car seat is necessary. What he means is where the kid is not coming along for the ride. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay. That could have been worded better. Now, key note, one who failed to properly prepare himself or the car as outlined above must nevertheless proceed to the hospital in the safest, quickest way he can. Meaning, I didn't do any of this. I didn't prepare at all. She goes into labor on Shabbos. Uh-oh, am I in trouble? Just do it. Do what you need to do. Take whatever you need to take. Get her to the hospital in time. Worry about the other stuff later. One may drive to the hospital that the Yoledis' doctor directed her to go to, even if there is another hospital which is closer, right? The doctor says, this is where you should go, then this is where you should go. It would be good if you talked to the doctor beforehand and the doctor understood what the parameters were and therefore understood, yes, it would be better to be closer if it's a good place. But if the doctor says to you, this is where you need to be given the terms of your pregnancy, then that's where you need to be. This is always fun. If, during the drive, labor stopped, and the woman feels she does not need to go to the hospital, this is talking about where it's a Jewish driver, not a non-Jewish driver, then it is not permitted for the driver to continue driving. They must find a non-Jew who will take her and her companion back home if they cannot return safely and comfortably on foot, which is generally the case. She is 9 months pregnant. That's why we're in this boat. But the point that he's making is that if you're not now saving a life, you're not going to the hospital to help her give birth, she has to go back home, then the heter for a Jew to do the driving is no longer present. In the event that it's a choice of this woman who is 9 months pregnant is going to be stranded in the middle of nowhere, I have no options for a non-Jew, and it's not safe for her to be, you know, sitting in the car or walking home, then you'll need to override Shabbos for her. But the point he's making is that having a Jewish driver means there's less you can do now if you're not in a life-saving situation. The heter for the non-Jew to drive her home applied even where it wasn't life and death. The non-Jew is able to drive her home just because it's really uncomfortable for her to stay in the hospital for the rest of Shabbos. The heter for a Jew to drive her home is only if it's a life and death situation. Otherwise, you know, look at the door of the house that you stopped in front of. See if there's no mezuzah. Knock on the door. See what happens. I don't know. Good luck. What if you're on the highway? Yeah, no, then it's probably not such a great thing. The extent to which one needs to go is determined by the extent to which one is in danger, you know? And in general, when we're dealing with a woman at this stage in the pregnancy, the driver may be in danger if he does not take her home. But the issue, it's very circumstance-driven. No pun intended. Okay. Once the driver arrives at the hospital emergency room, the car may be placed in the park position, but the ignition and the lights may not be turned off. This is still within the Jewish driver that we're talking about. So you can put the car in park because it's kind of dangerous to get out of the car if it's not in park. But don't turn it off, you know, but, well, you'll see the next line. The car door may not be closed upon leaving the car if closing the door will cause the light to be turned off. The driver may ask a non-Jew, you have somebody there, an attendant, a guard, whatever, to take the car, park it, and return the keys to him after Shabbos, or leave them at the front desk or nurse's station. You may wish to practice before Shabbos their explanation for the valet of what exactly it is that you're asking them to do and why. You know, if you're in a Jewish area, they tend to have seen this before. But it is something that that is a consideration. Are we clear? Got it? Yes, Natalie.
But if someone does live really far, like, let's say, like, in Israel, you live, like, all the way up north, then to get to the hospital, like, you have to wait until you're, like, the medic. I feel like that doesn't give them enough time, let's say, to get to the hospital. Like, until, like...
So what's her plan? What would be her plan if it was Tuesday? Forget Shabbos.
I don't know. Like, you could probably, like, get there faster, like, driving without having to be, like, all these roads.
These are all things that should have happened before Shabbos. That's why, I mean, that's why we're talking about it. This is all in the context of now that you've told me that Shabbos is still a thing and that knowing I may need to go to the hospital on Shabbos or that I'm likely to, I'm supposed to prepare in advance. So these are all checklist items for before Shabbos. They don't need to delay anything on Shabbos, right? As long as you put your Easy Pass or whatever it is in the car and you took care of the driver's license and everything else, nothing's happening on Shabbos. You're just running into the car and driving. And if they're in a situation where they can't get there in time because they live too far from the hospital, like, that's not a Shabbos issue. Clear? Okay. All right. Moral of the story is give birth on Tuesday. That's the moral of the story. All right. So I'm going to pause things here.